News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Do anything, anywhere with high-speed 4G mobile data coverage across 96% of the population.
This is News Talk.
Okay, two major new reports on children out today. We'll be talking in a moment about how the recession has impacted on three-year-olds, but let's find out how our five-year-olds are doing as part of one of these reports, growing up in Ireland. Emer Smith, research professor at the ESRI, joins us now. How are our five-year-olds doing, Emer?
Broadly, they're faring well in terms of their health, their emotional well-being, their relationships with their family, and they're making of positive transition to primary school. But at the same time, even at the age of five, we see inequalities emerge. So we see those children whose parents have lower levels of income, whose mothers have lower levels of education, have poorer health. They're more likely to be acting out or have emotional difficulties. And they have poorer skills going to school. So they don't have developed vocabulary skills in the same way. They don't have the kinds of skills that will help them engage with the primary curriculum.
Okay, differences as well between boys and girls.
Yes, we see quite strong gender differences even at this early stage. So we see boys have poorer socio-emotional well-being and poorer social skills like empathy. And they also have less developed vocabulary skills and less developed kind of attitudes and dispositions to school. At the same time, they have lower levels of obesity and overweight.
Okay, fascinating that even at that stage that boys would have less empathy than girls. It is extraordinary. Do we know what is that? Is that just men are from Mars, women are from Venus, or is that the way the kids are brought up?
I would favour it being more to do with the kids being how they're brought up. I mean, when we even look at 3-year-olds and 5-year-olds, we see that their social worlds are quite different. The kinds of play they engage in. Girls are doing more make-believe play. They're reading even a little bit more, being read to a little bit more at that age. And they're focusing on kind of things like painting, engaging with music, the kinds of skills that will develop their vocabulary and develop their cognitive development.
Okay, how healthy are our 5-year-olds?
They're pretty healthy. About 3/4 are healthy with no problems at all. Where problems are there, they're a small number, not to be negated. And they're usually kind of health conditions like asthma and skin conditions that hopefully some of those children would grow out of. But we see here a social gap too, in that the group that are from more disadvantaged backgrounds have poorer health, and that is of concern.
Okay. Generally, the picture is a good one, but the implications in terms of policymakers, what are the lessons that we need to learn from this, do you think?
There are two lessons. I think that early conditions and experiences make a difference for later outcomes. So it's important to intervene early. But it's also important to take account of the fact that children change as they develop. So on a positive note, we see that about half of those who were overweight when they were 3 are no longer overweight when they were 5. So you have to be looking for the kind of levers of change. What helps children turn themselves around, if you like, developmentally between 3 and 5? And what means that children suffer from increasing difficulties as they get older?
Okay. Emer Smith, research professor at the ESRI. Fascinating piece of research. Thanks indeed for coming in to us this morning.
Well, if that's the situation with 5-year-olds, let's look at a different group now. 3-year-olds, rather 3-year-olds during the recession is something else growing up in Ireland looked at. Dr. Elizabeth Nixon, assistant professor in developmental psychology in Trinity College Dublin, was involved in that research, and she's with me here in studio. Elizabeth, 3-year-olds in the recession, I suppose maybe this is very naive of me, I kind of thought, how would the recession affect someone as young as 3? Is that a pretty obvious question to start with?
Yeah, sure. And it's a good question, because I suppose there's been a long history of research that looks at the effects of growing up in socioeconomic disadvantage on children's development. And we know that on average they fare less well. But there's been much less research that has looked at what happens when there's an economic shock in a particular country at a particular point in time. And, you know, what are the effects of that on children's development? But I think more importantly, how is it that something like an economic recession in a country can sort of trickle down to ultimately have effects on children's development? And that's what we've been looking at in the research, really looking to uncover, I suppose, some of the pathways by which economic recession, you know, out in the broader context may impact upon families, the kind of relationships that parents have with each other and that they have with their children, and then ultimately really on the children's development.
Yeah, because Emer, I suppose, made the point that, you know, that people from different socioeconomic groups would have different experiences and develop in different ways. With the recession, you get someone maybe who's suddenly shunted from one socioeconomic group to the other. What effect does that have then on a three-year-old?
Well, I think the research suggests that there's quite diverse and varying effects on families. And we see, for example, the biggest proportionate drop in income occurred for the families who started off in the highest income group to begin with. But of course, we could argue, but they had, you know, well, A, they have further to fall, but they also have more cushioning. But I suppose it also depends on the extent of indebtedness within the families. And it was really when we began looking at experiences of kind of economic strain or pressure, which is kind of like gives psychological meaning, I suppose, to economic hardship, that we begin to see where how differences can emerge across different social groups.
Okay, so it's not so much the resources available for children to do music or whatever it happens to be. It's more the psychological and the strain and the stress that they experience just in their household.
Well, that was certainly the pathway and the mechanism, I suppose, that we were interested in exploring. And what we found was one of the key mechanisms is that of parents' depression and parental kind of well-being and poor mental health. So, for example, where families were in arrears on rent or mortgage, or where they were finding that they had to cut back on basic necessities, we found that this represented a really significant risk factor in terms of higher levels of depressive symptoms for both mothers and fathers, but to a greater extent for mothers. And I suppose the knock-on effect is that when parents are experiencing psychological distress, this tends to spill over and kind of negatively impact the types of interactions that parents have with their children. For example, you know, they might be more hostile or a little bit more irritable, or they might be more withdrawn from their children, less interested in doing activities with them or playing with them. And it's kind of through these types of interactions that children are having that we see the effect of the recession potentially impacting upon the children's development.
And I'm sure, like, lots of those parents listening, and most of them would have the best of intentions, that I suppose they assume that they're insulating their children from maybe what they are talking about when the kids go to bed about financial problems. But, like, even without realising it, it seeps out into the wider family. Is that it?
Yeah, I think what we're looking at is that this kind of spillover effect does occur. Interestingly, we see that children are less affected by paternal depression and paternal marital dissatisfaction than for maternal depression and marital dissatisfaction.
So they emotionally rely more on their mothers than their fathers?
Well, I think it suggests that, you know, within the family, perhaps mothers are better able to protect the children when something is going wrong for the father than vice versa. I think that's what the data might be suggesting. I think we have to bear in mind also that the children at this point are 3 years of age, so they're still very young, and you know, oftentimes it is the mother who's the primary caregiver of the child in those early years. So it does make sense that children might be more affected by what's going on for the mother than for the father. But it also points to the fact that it is possible for children to be protected within families by having a positive relationship with one of their parents.
All right, fascinating stuff. Dr. Elizabeth Nixon, Assistant Professor in Developmental Psychology in Trinity College Dublin. Thanks a million for coming in to us.